This is Pure Decking for Thursday, November the... What the hell is today? The 7th? 2013. I'm Morps, and tonight we have Big, BSV, Madman, and RU486. Full freaking house. This is the show about stuff that interests me, you know, like descending to a police state, information security, the Illuminati,
and... Really?
Yeah.
All bullshit.
I don't know if you've seen the freaking, I got the story. I'll just save it for that. But, I'm pretty sure that's an Illuminati, hit job. So,
oh, fun anyways. And cheerfully depressing.
Really? Yay. So you actually believe in the Illuminati?
Yeah, they're a big drinking club that think they do stuff, but they're just, they're like the Fall Guys for the Fall Guys, I think.
Here's a key tip. If it's a actual secret organization with power,
we
you wouldn't know
name.
About them.
No, you hide in plain sight. The Bilderberg Group has all kinds of power.
Yeah, but they're not really pretending to be a secret organization.
No.
All right,
their organization isn't secret. It's just what they do is secret. They publicize their list.
I'll have to change the joke to something else. I'll come up with something. You know, you think I'd have better opening for or decking. I'll write the disclaimer for IHN freaking week, so I mean...
Well, you got to phone it in on at least one show.
Yeah, there you go. There's
might as well be your own.
Yep, that's right. So I've got myself a very full glass of Jim Beam Devil's Cut, so I'm probably going to be slurring about halfway through the show. Madman, what are you drinking?
Red strawberry ale right now, but just to hold off global warming, I am going to switch to bourbon later on.
Outstanding. And just so everyone is in fact aware, the way Madman is preventing the earth from falling into the sun, he's getting so drunk that he has to hold on to the ground. But you need to understand, he's not holding on to the ground to keep from falling off. He's holding it in place. What are you drinking, man?
Water right now. I just finished my Michael J. Fox coffee. Guaranteed to make you shake.
There you go. So, accidentally put Red Bull instead of water in the coffee maker, right?
And cocaine.
There you go. Cocaine instead of coffee, Red Bull instead of water. We're not sure that it's coffee, but it went through the coffee maker. So, hey. BSV, what are you drinking, man?
Nothing right now, sorry.
Oh, party foul.
Sorry, my fridge is empty. I've been too lazy.
Well, I had that problem for our last Let's Get Drunk, so we ended up not doing a Let's Get Sober. So, oh, shit, we got Let's Get Drunk tomorrow, too. All right, Madman, prepare your liver. Big, what do you got, man?
Iced tea.
Long Island iced tea?
No.
Oh.
Tell me you've got a bag of Skittles as well.
I sure do. Now shoot me.
Yeah, and I gotta go find a white Mexican.
There you go.
I gotta go find some face paint.
There you go. Oh. Let's see, what are we... How far do we make it in? 4 minutes in, and we've already got the blackface joke. So there we go. Okay. So, station news. Don't really have anything. Don't know why I read out the header. Discussion. So, knowledge of old technology seems to be disappearing. And I'm saying this specifically because on superuser.com, there's actually several of them, but this one caught my eye. There's a guy on there who is actually asking, what are the A and B drive letters for? The hard drive always starts at C. Why doesn't it start at A? I tell you, some of the comments on the page are fantastic.
They're great. I'm reading them right now.
Yeah, somebody's like, wow, you're fucking old. Or I must be fucking old or something like that. Come on. Let me copy the URL here so I can share this one with the IRC.
Why are the ports on the back of my Dell colored?
There we go. There's the URL, guys. Because you all need to read these. These are great.
Oh, my God. I belong to a different time in computing history, and I'm 30.
Yep, that's about right, isn't it? So,
well, think about it. One day, if any of us have kids, they're going to be going through our junk closet because we're going to have one, and they're going to pull out an old hard drive and go, "What's this?" And you're going to have to explain to them that we used pretty much Victorian age technology, spinning metal platters and magnets, to encode our data.
And then he's going to be, "Daddy, how do magnets work?"
Fucking kid! Go talk to a scientist.
Well, that actually brings up an interesting thing. Like, you used to rummage through your old man's closet and shit like that for old porno mags. Now you'd be looking through the old floppy disk for a dump file of porn.
Then you'll have to find something that will actually read a floppy disk.
You know, if you think about it, as a way of encrypting your data, storing it on some whack-ass physical format that nobody has anymore, like old zip disks or something, or 5 1/4s, yeah, that might actually work, just because nobody's got the hardware to read the damn thing.
I have my tax information on punch cards.
Here you go, IRS.
Try to break this.
Hack me now, bitch!
Ooh, wow. That's a fun story. I think I've told this story before. Everybody knows the phone calls you get, you know, saying, "Hi, we're from Windows. You have a virus on your computer."
Yeah, at least 3 times a week.
Oh, yeah. So I got one of those one time, and I never get one of these guys when I'm really ready so I can, you know, throw on the Southern accent and get as racist as I want and really have some fun with them. But I got one time, and I was actually working on a Commodore 64. And so the guy says, "Hi, I'm from Microsoft, and you have a virus on your computer." "Oh, yeah? I've got like 20 in the house. Which one?" "Well, the one you're on right now, sir." And of course, I can't do an Indian accent well enough to make it.
The one you are on right now, sir. Yes, yeah, that go. One.
This one. This the very computer I'm sitting at right now. Oh, yes.
Yes, sir.
Oh,
yes. Yes, sir.
"I want to meet the man who wrote a virus that will run on a Commodore 64. And the guy says, "Oh, yes, it has one." "So you have no clue what a Commodore 64 is, do you?" It's like, "I want to see the Windows virus that runs on a Commodore 64. That is fantastic.
I want to see the copy of Windows that runs on a single Commodore 64.
Why are you assuming a couple Windows?
Because he said a Windows virus.
Oh, okay.
If you don't have time for him, the best one is just like, "Yeah, it's booting." And then just keep them on hold. "Yeah, it's still booting up. I see a little Windows thing spinning. Can you hold on? Like, I really want to fix this up." I had a dude going for 30 minutes while I played Payday.
Nice.
Just put it on speakerphone. You know, every time he says, "Sir, are you there?" "Yes, it's still booting up." And then, like, just as he's like, "Sir, you really have to hurry up." "Oh, it crashed. Sorry, I'll just start again." And he hung up. But last week, actually, no, it was 2 days ago, I got a phone call, and I was seeing one of those dudes, "Hello, sir, you have a virus on your computer." I'm like, "Okay, I'm going to fuck with this guy." Then my call waiting goes, right? So I'm like, "Fuck it, I can't fuck with this guy. It could be someone important." I hang up. "Hello, sir, this is Microsoft." Fuck me, dead man. Two at the same time. I shit you not. But, wow, I'm so sick of those assholes, man.
Yeah.
What you should have done, are you, is to see if they were sitting close to each other in their cubicles.
Oh, patch.
Can you reach over and
smack
Bob? Because, you know, he just called me a minute ago with the same fucking scam. I mean,
Oh, I should have turned it into a conference call.
Just see if you can get one of them to try to root the other. Hey, Bob, oh, you got a virus on your computer, man.
If that had to happen, it would even bow down to the greatest social engineer of all time.
So, the original discussion topic, what is B? I know what A is, but I don't think I've ever actually used B.
B is for the second floppy drive?
Mm-hmm.
I've never had more than one installed at a time. That would explain it.
Well, you probably never had a computer that didn't have a hard drive.
Way back as well, we used to put multiple CD drives in there with x1 burners because that was the rage, and try and kill our computers by burning 2 disks at once.
I've done that. Rip one while burning another.
Yeah. You needed a decent rig. Ours always kept crap. Well, I wouldn't say ours because I never had one. It's just my friends that were using them. They ever try to do it, like, they'd get them for Christmas. Oh, look, yeah, now I've got two, and it's 40 degrees, and the case is all tight, and we haven't really thought about cooling these things.
Mine was pretty decent when I was deciding to archive Netflix for them. In case one of their warehouses burned down.
Do you still have most of those?
Yeah, they're scattered around my apartment in binders.
Speaking of old technology, if you really want to blow a young kid's mind, make sure they know what an audio cassette is, and then tell them that you could also hook up your computer to the mic in and write data to it if it's an old Commodore 64 ZX Spectrum.
Yeah, I've been
fucking
get
blows
a data
their
set.
Mind.
It Amstrad as well.
Oh, I wanted an Amstrad. Those things look nice.
Yeah, because you play decent games on them, man. Mm-hmm. But speaking of A drives, like, it actually had a complete separate cassette drive, and then another disk drive, just as those large floppies came out.
Yep. See, I always did it. I was always on the Commodore, and we had the two floppy drives. You know, you had load 8 and load 9, and so pretty much the way it would always end up working is you'd have one drive that had, oh my God, I'm blanking on it. What the hell was the GUI, the little Windows environment for a Commodore? Oh my God, I'm blanking on this. Wow. I can't
Never
believe
no idea.
I can't believe I can't remember what that thing's called.
I just saw command lines and then, like, lists. I don't think I ever saw an actual GUI on a Commodore.
Oh, yeah, no, it had a GUI. It looked like they'd copied a Gen 1 Mac. Everybody knows what I'm talking about, but nobody can think what the hell it's actually called. Damn it. That's going to drive me insane. Anyways, we always had to... Geos. Freaking Geos.
Oh.
As soon as they said Jim, I knew what it was. Geos. Thank you, Mation and the IRC. We'd have one floppy drive ran Geos, and the other one was for you to put your stuff on. And that's how you had to work. And the early DOS machines were the same way. You'd boot off one disk, and all your data went on the other one. Otherwise, you were flopping you were switching drives back and forth so you could save stuff and still run programs. But, So back on topic here, obviously the person who asked the question has never actually seen a floppy drive, let alone a floppy disk that was actually floppy.
Wow, I'd love to whoever asked that question. Come and have a look at my setup for pirating DVDs.
Yeah.
Have you ever gotten a movie on floppy disk?
Yes.
Damn it, I should have asked other people.
You're about to be proud of yourself for something to warrant you there, Madman.
Only kind of, but I got the movie from you, so it didn't count too much. Mystery Men on floppy.
What movie was it?
Mystery Men.
Oh, I remember doing that.
And then later on, when it was all on one hard drive and I decided to watch it, I never put them all in one folder, so it was still going from... I had to go up and pull up each individual floppy disk that was saved onto a hard drive and put it in a playlist.
But, you think about it. Somebody who's only really been using a computer for, say, past, say, what, 5 years-ish? I'm kind of randomly picking a date there, maybe more, maybe less. May not have ever actually seen a floppy drive. I haven't seen a laptop come with one for a while.
They were being phased out when I was in college.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't buy a laptop without one.
Good luck.
I have trouble finding laptops with them.
Yeah, I suppose my laptop's 5 years old now.
Yeah. I mean, I've actually got a USB one I still use for dealing with some disks, or if you've got a machine that you got to, fix the BIOS on, just nothing beats the old DOS boot disk on a floppy disk. I mean, it's just the way to do it. But
all we've done is progressed backwards in time when it comes to having external disk drives now again.
Yeah, well, now everything's, internet, so...
Yeah, but that's not how I want to get a lot of my shit. Like, there's stuff that I have that I'd like to put on. If I didn't have a drive, I'd be screwed.
Get yourself a tape recorder. And two wires.
Throw it on a thumb drive.
I have a box of games here that I've bought. I've tried to enter the key onto Steam, and it won't accept the key. So I still need a drive to play that.
Yeah. 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 Well, I mean, you're talking CD drive for the most part, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, this guy had a copy
of Oregon Trail or something floating around?
Probably. I haven't been through the disc.
I'll just open the drawer here.
I haven't been through the disc closet in so long. I've probably got something in there like that. I know when I've got in there. Blake Stone, Aliens of Gold.
Ooh.
That's an old game. Played that on a.
I think I'll get a copy of Doom.
Uh-oh, Sard's here. I just saw him hop onto TeamSpeak. He must have been racing home to get in on this.
Get out. No one wants you here.
Nope, it's full.
Wireless headset, bitch. You guys are jerks. I want to barge into a show every once in a while. Hi, guys. What's going on in this thread?
Nothing.
Okay. I've got Doom, but it's not on a floppy drive. It's just on my hard drive.
Oh, nice. Man, are we talking about Doom? Sweet.
I've got Doom on the PlayStation 1.
Hey, Sard. Why can't I label my drives A and B?
Why can't you? Because you're I'm not even going there.
Sorry, no. What are you drinking? You're gonna buy.
I have Shock Top, of course.
Okay, just making sure you've got some form of alcohol because it's gonna be necessary here.
I grabbed it because I knew it was a requirement.
So, okay, now that we've beaten up the idea here. You think about it, it's things like floppy disks and some of the older formats, tape drives, SCSI, old IDE drives even. People don't really know.
Those big drives used to physically take out, though. You could actually take almost the entire hard drive out.
Yeah. Well, just IDE is the old way of hooking up a hard drive. SCSI drives, SCSI chains, hell. All this stuff most people don't really know about anymore. Everything's been switched out. So, of course, my knee-jerk reaction is to say, well, yeah, that's bad that nobody knows about this old hardware. What do you got to deal with it? What about the understanding of the system that comes from dealing with it at that level? But is it really that bad of a thing that somebody doesn't have a clue how to work a piece of technology that hasn't really been sold for 10 years?
It depends on what industry they're working in. If you're working in banking in the U.S., you need to know that stuff. Their system still runs on COBOL.
Yeah, they do.
That's what I was going to say. It depends on their area of responsibility. Like I said, if you still have to support it, yeah, obviously you should know about it. It actually brings up some friends and I were talking about the other day. You guys remember Cable Select? On an old IDE cable? We were talking about how...
Never trusted that son of a bitch. I always set my master in slaves.
Exactly. Every single IDE drive had it, and no one fucking used it because no one trusted it because it would always flip-flop your drives around. But it was just funny because we were talking about, the comparison of IDE versus SATA, and it's like, as technology goes a lot farther along, we just get lazier and lazier. I don't want to see any goddamn jumpers on my hard drives. Give me SATA. I don't have to do shit then. I just plug it in and go.
That's, to me, that's kind of tragic. The great thing about those old computers, those old 8-bit Z80s, those Intel 8080s, they were simple. They were simple to sit down and understand what the fuck was going on. I sit down at just a bare bones 64-bit Intel ARM whatever and try to get something going. It is a pain in the ass.
I agree, but I counter it with the opinion of, have you ever tried to get a brand new sound card working in like Windows 95 or something, where now you need to go and manually set the IRQ and worry about DMA channels and all that bullshit? I don't miss any of that.
No, you're right.
oh, I got this awesome new peripheral. Let me spend the next 2 weeks trying to set it up because, you know, that IRQ that it's, you know, hard-coded to use isn't available. Now it's conflicting with my graphics card. So let me switch my graphics card from this PCI slot to, you know, to this one. So hopefully it switches buses and blah, 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 blah. That was a pain in the ass.
Oops. And meanwhile, this you've lost an ounce. Meanwhile, you've lost a quart of blood from cutting yourself playing around
every
with
time
your
you turn. Go yes. in the case. Yeah.
Yes. It's a double-edged sword. I agree it's kind of tragic, but at the same time, I'm thankful.
Well, you know, you think about it. There aren't really a lot of, you know, you mentioned Windows 95. There's not really a lot of Windows 95 systems still really kicking around. Most of them have been malwared up to the point they've crashed out. There are still a lot of DOS machines kicking around, strangely enough. Most of them are running industrial equipment.
Oh, CNC machines.
Yeah, there are still a ton of those things running DOS on 486s. Because, you know, they hooked it up when they bought the machine 20 years ago, and they haven't bothered to, you know,
oh,
why change it if it works.
Oh, dude, don't even think 20 years ago. 10 years ago.
They sell them new that way, because that's what somebody certified on.
Yeah, I got my A+. Here's a 5 1/4 inch. Good luck.
Yeah. I will tell you, though, NT4 servers still pop up every once in a while. I found a few the other day, and it's like, I thought we had gotten rid of all these things. What does this thing run? Oh, shit, this is one of mine. It was a server I inherited. It wasn't one I set up, but it was just like, holy crap. Wait, that's, I'm responsible for this. Damn it.
Yeah. That's exactly how it always happens, is you always inherit that old shit. I thought we got all the Windows 2000 boxes off of our network. Well, nope, we just inherited a brand new one.
Good yeah, sure you did.
Yeah.
Sure you did. That's the bitch of it, though. It's usually not desktop systems that are still kicking around in these really old-ass versions of Windows, unless you've got somebody... job I had prior to the job I have now, we had a couple of engineers who were living on laptops that ran Windows 3.1. There were 486 laptops running Windows 3.1 because that's what the software they had ran, and apparently it had never been updated, ever.
Oh, God.
Nice. Sounds like electronics engineers.
Yeah, actually, plastic parts, close enough. But, yeah, they, and that was the software everyone knew how to use, and that's what all of our machines ran. That's why I say DOS machines still pop up, because those damn things were running DOS.
That's
and
awful.
You know, they would bring me the laptops every once in a while saying, yeah, something broke. And, of course, you know, you're looking at a 10-year-old laptop. It's like, well, of course something fucking broke. And you open the thing up and somebody spilled grease into it, some bullshit like that. And you've got to, like, cannibalize. I ended up with, like, 3 broken, what the hell were these things? They're ancient IBM ThinkPads that we were cannibalizing for parts to keep the 2 working ones working. Because something would always happen where they took them out on the floor to update a line controller. And, yeah.
How long ago was this?
5 years ago, maybe? A little more?
Stupid question, but why didn't you get them on a VM?
That would be because we couldn't get anybody to approve the purchase of new machines.
But you could purchase old machines to keep the old ones going.
Exactly. So that brings up
you
another
had
good
those
point.
Then.
We just had a closet full of them.
And if anybody right. wonders, Plastek is still that way.
Thank you for that, Madman.
Well, that brings up another good point of, you know, a lot of those old machines. A lot of them, I imagine, are probably not there by choice. It's that people don't want to reinvest some money to update them, buy new licenses for, you know, the software that actually works with a modern operating system. They just say, oh, well, you know, it's still working. You can still do your job, so we aren't buying shit.
Not only that, but some of them are just still functional, and it's costly to replace an automated milling machine.
Well, you know, things like, we mentioned banking earlier. Every single bank is probably still running off of a IBM Power emulating an AS400. You know, the hardware goes out, so they emulate the old hardware on the modern stuff. You know, they're all big iron mainframes. They all run them on Power emulating AS400. So, you know, that's still kicking around, like we mentioned earlier, COBOL. So, you kind of think about it. Like, I enjoy playing around with some of my old machines just out of nostalgia, I guess. I mean, pulling up the Commodore is kind of fun. But is practical knowledge of dealing with DOS, floppies, modems, serial ports useless now? I mean, really?
Serial ports are still fucking useful, depending on your application.
Well, if you're doing ARM programming, absolutely.
Getting some kind of serial interface on a computer made less than 5 years ago is a pain.
You gotta find just the right USB adapter.
Oh, yeah.
Hope it works. Our networking department, where I work now, several of the guys, they have a couple of old, I think they're Dells. But they don't do anything else with them other than configure Cisco gear, because they have real physical serial ports on them.
Lucky.
Why?
They kept them. Just for that reason.
Just for that reason? That's kind of retarded, because a USB to serial adapter works. I configure switches with that all the time.
I've done it, too. But early USB to serial adapters didn't always work. You had to find the right brand.
Right.
And so they've got a handful of laptops that they just keep kicking around, still running XP, that all they do with them is putty. And, you know, hey, whatever. But... So I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you think it's still practical to pick up some of the older tech? I mean, even if you don't think you're going to be using it for anything, or can you let some of that stuff die?
I would go with yes, because you never know where you're going to be working. I know a lot of things in the steel industry are still using programs and interfaces that are decades old. A national cash register. If you're going to be doing tech support for retail, you're going to be dealing with anywhere from computers that are somewhat new to 10 years old.
That's
20 years old. Okay. Anywhere from 20 years to new.
These scans are still running XP, aren't they?
Yes.
I know a lot of ATMs are still running on Windows 2000.
So, depending on which industries you might be doing tech support for, since you don't really know that coming out of college, yeah, you would really want to have a functioning knowledge. You might not be an expert at it, but you want to know at least the basics and how to look up how to get the job done.
At least understand what the save button's little symbol actually means on the Word program.
Yeah. I agree. You should at least know the basics. I agree for different reasons, though. Like I was saying earlier with the Z80 computers and all that, the basics like this were so much simpler to understand than their new counterparts. So you understand the basics, it's easy to look forward and say, oh, this is how this is different. And you can just go from there.
And I just figure if you're working anywhere where you shut down of an evening and you have to park the heads, it's time to upgrade your shit.
You need to convince the powers that be it's time to upgrade.
Depends on what tape backup system you're using.
Right.
Oh, God.
No, it's also a good thing.
A lot of people still use tape. That's modern.
Yeah, which is a whole other argument, in my opinion. It's 2013, people. Jesus. But nostalgia is a definite good knowledge of using that. I mean, like you guys were talking about Doom and all those old games before. I mean, I was trying to think, what's the DOS emulator that you can
Free
play?
DOS?
No, you're thinking DOSBox.
DOSBox, that's the one I'm thinking of. I set that up, and even then, you know, it's essentially a virtual machine, but you still have to know some of the old DOS commands and stuff to get the sound card networking and all that working correctly. So,
for that kind of stuff, excited when I found a Super Nintendo controller that ended in a USB plug on Amazon.
Yeah.
Somebody had, you know, just cloned it and made it a standard USB peripheral. I got really excited when I found that. So
yeah, that's cool.
That controller is perfect for so many, you know, emulated and DOS and, you know, even stuff on the Android. So,
oh, that's great for some of the Steam games. They've got some side scrollers in there that are just two buttons and a D-pad.
Yep. So, all right, we had a lot of fun with that. I enjoyed that conversation just because it was so freeform. Let's move on to news stories here because we are half an hour in. First story up is from the Raw Story, or not the, there's no the in that URL. It's just from rawstory.com. The Seattle Police Department purchased a mesh network in February that will allow emergency responders, or that will be used by emergency responders, but will also be capable of tracking anyone with a Wi-Fi enabled device. The network is not turned on, according to Seattle Police, but once it is, it will be able to determine the IP address, device type, downloaded applications, current location, and historical location of any device that searches for a Wi-Fi signal. The network is capable of storing that information for the previous 1,000 times a particular device attempted to gain a Wi-Fi signal. So, they bought a standard issue mesh network, and every time one of your devices looks for a signal, they could log it. Now, I'm doing this story for a very specific reason. This is somebody going absolutely fucking insane over the fact that they could log something, even though they're probably not. They're talking about BBS games in the IRC, so it's... when you set up a G15 BBS, just for
Zork.
Fun. Zork! Zork! the network is not... Oh, wait, I already read that paragraph. Jamla DeBalk of the American Civil Liberties Union is worried that police will use the network for more than just coordinating emergency responders. They now own a piece of equipment that has tracking capabilities, so we think they should be going to city council and presenting a protocol for the whole network that says they won't be using it for surveillance purposes, she told KIRO7. Once these kinds of tools are in place, they don't go away. Even if we assume that the mesh network was installed by good people for good reasons, there's no reason to believe that the people controlling the network in the future will use it for the public good. The Seattle City Councilman Bruce Harnell assured KIRO7 that the network would not be used for surveillance purposes. While I understand that a lot of people have concerns about the government having access to this information, he said, when we have a large public gatherings like the situation in Boston and something bad happens, the first thing we want to know is how we are going to use the technology to capture that information. Oh, crap. So there he is admitting that, yeah, we could do that. moreover, he continued, the council made it clear, crystal clear, that before the on button is turned on, before it's being used, they have to go to the public. Deblock wonders why, if it's not yet turned on, access points are already appearing around the city with names like 4th and Pike, 3rd and Union. Seattle Police would not explain why. It's because they're turning the equipment on to test it. That's exactly why. They just don't want to admit it. The network was purchased for, here's the fun part, $2.6 million with a grant from the Department of Homeland Security.
Nice.
That's a shit ton of money for a mesh network. Now, that said, mesh nodes are not the cheapest things in the world, but I kind of feel like Seattle could have covered themselves for a little bit less than that.
Well, Seattle's a pretty big city.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Especially if they're putting it on every intersection.
So, I guess to clarify, what they're getting up in the air, what this person from the ACLU is getting their panties in a knot about is with the mesh network throughout the city, it would be possible for them to log the physical, like a MAC address of Wi-Fi devices that regular people have, and kind of track what access points they hit so they get an idea of where they are.
That's if their people are leaving their Wi-Fi on to open scan.
So I turned it off just for saving battery, if nothing else. But yeah, no, if you forget to turn it off, your device does scan everything and anyone and say, here I am and I'm looking for networks X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, so, mine's off unless I'm using Wi-Fi. And then I know which networks I'm attempting to connect to.
You don't have any tablets, do you?
No, just a smartphone and a laptop.
Yeah. A lot of tablets, the Wi-Fi ends up getting left on because, like, you use it at home, you use it at work, and you just don't think about it between the two. So I know I've forgotten to turn the Wi-Fi off on my tablet more than once. So, my God, somebody might know the router I take to work. Because there's more than one.
I'm seeing this different than the other overreaches our government's done to spy on people. Like, the NSA is actively searching out networks and information. This is something where it's passive. I as an individual are giving them this information if I don't turn off my Wi-Fi on my device.
I don't really see a problem with it.
I don't either. I think this is somebody seeing that they're setting up a mesh network and shitting their pants over something that's not really an issue.
I mean, so, anyone disagreeing with either of us on this? I don't see it as an overreach, even if they use it for surveillance.
It just depends how it's used in long-term purpose.
Long-term purpose? They know Madman by whatever screen name I'm using on the tablet that I forget to turn the Wi-Fi on. And for some reason, that tablet's near a bunch of arsons.
Well,
just randomly. And then they knock on my door and see cans and cans of gasoline. And, I don't know, some 14-year-old tied up in a closet. And I get arrested.
Great. Sounds like a typical Tuesday.
Are you planning something there, Madman?
I'm just throwing out a completely hypothetical situation for this discussion.
I mean, I've already thought about how I'd use it if I was tracking someone.
When did you get the 14-year-old to hide in the closet? That's the question.
When the cops showed up, I was like, guys, this is going to be hilarious. I need one of you duct taped in a closet now.
Wow.
I don't know why, but people do trust me with their children.
Are you? There's your soundbite right there.
Yeah.
All right, next one up. Huh? Go ahead.
I just see where you could use this for plotting someone's way to work and things like that.
Oh, absolutely. You would have to turn the functionality on. And maybe even write a little bit of software, because I'm not aware of any software immediately out there that would... that is the wrong... Sard, I just sent you the wrong thing. Hang on.
Yeah, I was going to say, nice try, but...
Yeah, well, that was the last thing in my clipboard, apparently, where I threw that in the IRC so they could all laugh at the guy, too, for not knowing what the A and B drive was for.
Huh, right. Dumbass.
It could be more embarrassing.
Yes, so, like motherless or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Oops, forgot I copied that.
4chan/B/
All right. With that.
What would happen if I emptied my clipboard?
God, I'm afraid of what's about
to come
through.
Oh,
that's a My Little Pony site. Good God.
That's hot, man.
Commodore 64 Power Glove is so bad. Nice. All right, next story up is from torrentfreak.com. The Trans-Pacific Partnership, TPP, is currently working towards the creation of a regional free trade agreement between several Asia-Pacific countries, which together account for about 40% of the world's GDP. The agreement aims to create deep economic ties between a dozen countries: Australia, Brunei, Chile, Japan, Malaysia, Peru, Singapore, United States, Vietnam, Mexico, Canada, and New Zealand. By easing trade in goods and services, encouraging investment, and forging understandings across a wide range of policy issues. I probably shouldn't have downed so much of that Jim Beam. I'm just going to point that out. Negotiations
more is required.
Negotiations between the nations have been running for around 2.5 years, and the TPP agreement itself has now been reportedly more than 1,000 pages deep. Overall, the negotiations have drawn criticism for their secrecy, but today WikiLeaks announced that they had obtained a copy of the most controversial chapter of the TPP agreement, which reveals the negotiation positions for all 12 countries on IP and copyright issues. So just to point it out, this is coming from WikiLeaks. They could have made it up. Just like, yeah, we think this is what they're going to do. But probably not. WikiLeaks has a pretty good reputation for at least releasing real stuff. I'm not going to argue their politics, but they probably didn't make it up, but they could have. So I just feel like we should point that out. Many topics are covered in the chapter, including DRM and other technical measures, extending copyright terms, increased penalties for infringement, and ISP liability, with the latter with a proposal for adapting and reasonably implementing a policy that provides for termination in appropriate circumstances of accounts of repeat infringers. That's something they keep coming back to, like SOPA and PIPA. They always want to be able to turn people's internet off if they're a file share.
Just as long as it remains the accounts and not the infringers.
We're going to turn the infringers off. You know, I'm just going to shoot you, let you bleed out into the keyboard. You know, it's just like, you downloaded MP3? Nope, we've got to throw you in the industrial microwave unit. I mean, it's just...
I think they did a video of that once. FBI yeah, just bursting in and popping this guy in the back of the head.
Yeah, the IT crowd did that.
Yeah. I love the IT
download crowd. A car. I would.
I would download a fucking car. What are you talking about? You know how much cars cost?
That'd be sweet.
Exactly.
Reception.
Let's get that
rip
rat working and download a car.
It might take a while, but we'll get one there eventually. Good lord. Can you imagine a fully plastic car, like the engine and everything? It'd work for like a mile, maybe. It'd melt. Reception to the leaked agreement has so far been highly critical. Knowledge, what? Oh, that's a name. Knowledge Ecology International notes that the TPPIPR chapter not only proposes the granting of more patents, expansion of right holder privileges, and increased penalties for infringement, but also plans the creation of intellectual property rights on data. The TPP text shrinks the space for exceptions in all types of intellectual property rights. Negotiated in secret, the proposal text is bad for access to knowledge, bad for access to medicine, and profoundly bad for innovation. KEI concludes. Buruk Kilik, an intellectual property lawyer with the Public Citizen, says that some of the proposals in the text evoke memories of the controversial SOPA legislation in the United States. The WikiLeaks text also features Hollywood and recording industry-inspired proposals. Think about the SOPA debacle to limit internet freedom and access to educational materials, to force internet providers to act as copyright enforcers, and to cut off people's internet access, Kirik says. Collectively, the terms in this version of the leaked draft reveal argument and opposition on dozens, if not hundreds, of points from one or several countries. In fact, while there are many, many proposals, it is striking that there is a clear lack of final agreement across the board in almost all the issues. I'm just going to stop the article there. There's not that much of it left. Pretty much, the TPP sucks. They're going to go in and gut everything you like about the internet. So you might as well get on the darknet now and just get it over with. Because they're coming to pretty much, I guess, shoot you in the back of the head if you download a movie.
I still don't
download
see,
stream.
I still don't see how they should be able to penalize providers, like internet providers, for what their customers are doing.
Currently, there's no legal basis for it other than the DMCA protection provisions. You can possibly argue they have to remove the shared content. But that's where this agreement ends. They're creating the obligation. Yeah, no, you're right. There is no existing obligation. There's no practical obligation. It doesn't make any sense to me. It's like, why should I be responsible for what somebody else is doing just because I happen to provide them a connection? But this would create a legal responsibility for what people do with your connections.
Yeah, that would make getting connections so much harder.
Yes, it would. Which I think is the point.
We'd have to go back to CDs and DVDs.
We would have to go to total darknets and just hide what we're doing on the internet and justify. It's like, so we saw all this encrypted data coming out. Porn. I was downloading porn. Leave me alone. I wasn't
Paid
talking to people
porn.
In
was
Australia.
Was it copywritten porn?
Britain and Canada. No, it was porn. Total open source. Linux distros. I was downloading Linux distros. I did just roll my main studio rig over to KX Studio. Nice distro. It's running much faster than my Linux Mint build.
So would they clause streaming?
Probably. I'm sure it's in there.
Learned.
Definitely yeah. The scary.
Yeah.
Scary side of things. Like said, it'll force people.
And to go back to the first topic of the
yeah.
Yet so, you go back to handing off discs to each other.
I'll just go into Sod's dump there. It's full of movies.
Well, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be personal servers and you're going to go to an IP, it's not going to resolve to anything, and you're going to have to be in the know.
Great, we're
going
to become in the domain of child pornographers and the levels you have to go to keep yourself safe there.
I would say we kind of already are.
Yeah, it's definitely leaning towards that.
And what's sad is the way this law is written, just from what I'm hearing, I'm going to actually read up on WikiLeaks later on to see if it's true. This won't even just affect copyrighted material that way. This is going to allow for massive censorship. Like, if you have a political view opposed to anything a government wants, then you're silenced.
If you have nothing to hide.
I don't hide my political views. I just think other people should be able to hear them and then decide whether or not I'm a moron.
I agree,
That's not what they're going to put out there. They're going to put out your deepest, darkest secret.
And you try talking to people about privacy, and all you get, if you have nothing to hide, it's a
I've got
a
nothing to hide.
You
want to see my dick? Here it is. I mean, that's kind of how it goes.
They don't have any other retort. They don't know what to think. They just...
Well, if you have nothing to hide, show me everything that consists of you.
Exactly.
It's not just nothing to hide. Even if you're wanting to be open with it, this will allow them to take down anything you say that is contrary to what someone else wants out in public. So we can be completely public with what we want to do and what we're doing, and even if it's legal, this will allow them to take down anything to do with political speech, religious speech, good things that the internet does, like the spreading of free ideas. And I'm not talking free ideas as in, hey guys, I have a copy of the new Superman movie, y'all want a copy. Free ideas as in, just, like I said, political and religious speech.
Or
the organization of trade unions or whatever. You're about to say you hate Man of Steel?
Well, yeah, I hate Man of Steel, but I kind of hate saying it. But Stallman was right all along.
So what, you really should eat your foot fungus?
It's delicious.
Hey, don't wreck it, man. I haven't pirated it yet.
I'm
going to pay money to see a piece of shit like that? Fuck off.
Yeah. Next story up is from LATimes.com. For cable TV operators, 2013 has been a tough year. This year will probably be the worst for the pay TV industry in terms of customer retention, according to a report Tuesday by independent research firm, Moffett Nathanson. Moffett Nathanson. It's like they've jammed three words together.
That sounds racist.
Yeah, it kind of does, doesn't it? Veteran Wall Street media analysts Craig Moffett and Michael Nathanson calculated that the pay TV industry, which includes cable, satellite, and phone companies offering video service, lost 113,000 subscribers during the third quarter. Cable operators lost 680,000 subscribers in the period, according to their estimates. That was a far steeper decline than a year ago. And although the satellite TV and telephone companies picked up about 574,000 subscribers, it wasn't enough to erase the net loss for the industry. The pay TV industry has reported the worst 12-month stretch ever, Moffett and Nathanson wrote. Having a particularly hard time was Time Warner Cable, which lost more than 300,000 subscribers in the third quarter, and its high-profile skirmish with CBS Corp over programming fees and digital rights played out. Local CBS stations were blacked out for a month in Los Angeles, New York, and Dallas. Still, the analysts noted that the pace of cord cutting slowed during the quarter. They attributed much of the decline to the sluggish housing market and a dearth of new household formation, which has long been a key driver for increased TV subscriptions. Because of the losses suffered by cable operators, it would seem that the U.S. wireless business would generate higher revenue growth than the pay TV industry, Moffett and Nathanson theorized, but not so. They calculated that the revenue growth for wireless industry is below 3%, while the pay TV revenue growth is a healthy 5.1%. That's because they're raising prices. Of course, the fact that pay TV revenue is still rising smartly is part of the problem, Moffett and Nathanson wrote. We've always argued that cord cutting is an economic phenomenon, not a technological one. Pay TV revenue growth reflects rapid pay TV pricing growth, and that's precisely the problem. Rapidly rising prices are squeezing lower income customers or consumers out of the ecosystem. So pretty much there's a report from Wall Street saying that cord cutting is happening, and it's because they've got cable TV priced too damned high.
I know one, two, three, four people that have done that and gone to purely streaming and do HBO, HBO Go or Hulu or any of those type of stuff, and that's exactly right.
I don't have cable TV. I get everything over streams.
Yeah. I'd like to pay for HBO, but it's not available in my country. Or how come I can't buy it on the net?
Right. Yeah, that is a common complaint. I don't know.
So, yeah, I'm forced to pirate half this shit or wait 2 years for it to hit Rupert Murdoch's crap service and then tolerate sitting with my wife for how long the show runs with the dumbass questions like, who's that again? Constantly.
Oh, don't worry. It'll be ruined for you thanks to the internet. That could be another reason why they're pushing DPP through. They don't want you to ruin shows.
He spoiled the ending to Breaking Bad. Quick, shut him down with a DMCA complaint.
That happened to the news. I hate Fox News.
They spoiled Breaking Bad for you?
Yes!
Yeah.
Really?
I did it on the decking. Or I did it on the IGN disclaimer.
I can't get Hulu. I can't get Netflix. What the fuck is with that? And yet you complain constantly about piracy and people quitting out from pay TV. I have 129 channels. Guess what? 50 of those are identical to the show before. They'll just play it 2 hours later. And when you stopped calling it a rerun and called it an encore performance, that's when you lost me. It was like a big dick, Foxtel. Right? This is bullshit.
People can get better services and at cheaper prices or whatever they want. On the internet,
simply supply and demand. I was just going to mention that. Actually, I'm hoping that this forces them to start giving people what they want and go to the a la carte menu. Why do I need to buy a basic or advanced, TV package for 1,500 channels when I watch 10 of them?
Actually cut the story. There's a law that Rockefeller is trying to move through Congress right now to actually force cable companies to do that.
That would be so sweet.
reason that I've still got cable in this house is one, for my wife, and two, that it's the news cable package, so I get 26 overseas cable news channels.
You are such a news 24 hours a day.
I am, dude.
That's the only reason I still
runs
have
cable.
Runs
four TiVos all the time just to get all the news.
I can't pirate news.
Really hard. It is hard to pirate news.
I just thought of something. A la carte news. Or not news. Shit. TV. Alright. Most of the people that do TV also do our internet. So if we're going to go to an a la carte TV system, why not do that for the fucking internet?
Why not just leave the internet open?
Oh, I think they're going to try anyways. They want to sell you the Facebook package
exactly.
And the Google
That's
package.
That's what they want to do.
I will never, ever give up this contract.
I don't think they'll give you a choice.
Under Australian consumer law, you can't be forced off a contract. This is an open-ended. It's to when the consumer agrees to cut it off. As long as I pay my bill on time, I keep my contract as is. I still have a friend who's been in and out of court for 7 fucking years because he has unlimited download. Unlimited. It's unheard of here in Australia. It was meant to be for a 2-month introduction package back when 100K first started for the high speed stuff. So he turned his house into a server. Like just server racks everywhere.
Nice.
He pretty much uses it as a business because he can just download 24 hours a day.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. But they've had him in and out of court, and he's won every time because his contract law states that only the participant can give it up unless the company goes broke.
What they're going to do is split the company and be like, yeah, the part of the company that you're at, yeah, they're broke, bankrupt.
Yeah.
We're going to fire one guy just to cancel your contract.
Yeah, exactly. Give that company one employee. Oh, he quit. I guess we have
then
to
he mysteriously
the
show
it
up.
It probably helps, too,
company.
That the man is independently wealthy and has the money to fight this corporation tooth and nail.
I think it's kind of hilarious that you have limits on your downloads.
You'll have them too soon one day.
Don't you speak such blasphemy, horrible things.
I will, because it's
don't
coming.
Don't give them ideas. That's all we really want.
It
they
is
already
coming.
Have the idea. They're trying this shit.
I know. Yep. They keep trying. AT&T did it. I actually, a few years back, I switched from AT&T back over to a cable provider, and when they asked why I was canceling my AT&T, I told them, because you guys are implementing downloading limits. And the guy kept after me, trying to get me to say any other reason, because I think they had been told that is not an acceptable answer in their form.
Well, I've got 500 gig a month. I've yet to hit it.
You need to start. Never mind. We'll talk afterwards.
Try harder.
Yeah,
I was
saying,
no, because
we need to break him.
Dude, I look at
it
this way. If I don't need it, why get it? Like, I stream everything. I don't keep it. I listen to the station constantly, so that's always going. Multiple news streams, things like that. So I actually tear through it, but I've never had them where they've rang me up and said, yeah, by the way, your internet shut off because you reached your limit again, or you've been watching those naughty videos that you're not meant to.
I think
not like you've ever clicked on Mr. Hands.
I think those were A cups.
All right. There you go, Big got it right.
All right,
roll some titties.
This one's from ArsTechnica.com. Local law enforcement is getting kind of technological boost that used to be limited to three-letter agencies, thanks to the web-based software services that mine social media for intelligence. At last month's International Association of Chiefs of Police conference in Philadelphia, LexisNexis showed that a new tool. It will bundle with its research service for law enforcement agencies, one that will help them stake out social media as part of their criminal investigations. Called the Social Media Monitor, the cloud-based service will watch social networks for comments and activities that might offer clues to crimes in the physical world. With direct connections into a variety of social media service feeds, it will help the police plow through Twitter and Facebook in search of evidence that could lead to arrests. I just imagine what it's looking for there. Just robbed a bank, hashtag YOLO. I mean,
aren't there websites that do this already?
I'm sure. But, yeah, now LexisNexis is doing it, so it's going to get some traction because everybody subscribes to that bullshit. Social media is already a major tool for police departments. Some city police departments, such as the Boston Police Department, have integrated monitoring of social media into their real-time crime centers, operations that have been aided by federal funding for a large number of cities. And because criminals often use social media themselves to their own detriment, social media monitoring is paying off. For example, in 2011, analysts at Cincinnati's RTCC were searching the social network connections of a suspect for one crime and found video of an armed robbery posted to Facebook by one of the perpetrators.
Well done, sir. Well done.
Let me just confess.
Police say someone arranged to have that man raped in prison.
Sorry, ma'am. Sorry, ma'am. Just keep putting the money in the bag. I need a quick tweet to this.
Just robbed an old lady. YOLO. Hashtag screw the man. I don't know. I can't think of what all the hashtags they'd have on these.
But, cutting for Bieber.
Hashtag cutting for Bieber. Hashtag YOLO. There you go. It's not just a big city phenomenon. A poll of 1,200 law enforcement officers conducted by LexisNexis found that 4 out of 5 law enforcement officers use social media as part of their investigations. More than 3/4 of those who don't use social media now plan to start using it within the next 12 months. LexisNexis Accurate for Law Enforcement is already something of a social network on its own. The service is sort of a LinkedIn for law enforcement agents that provides a I want an account on this network now. That provides a way for network and identity or a way to network and identify people with expertise at other levels of law enforcement. It also allows for access to public records about individuals and businesses that law enforcement can use to verify identities, locate suspects and their assets, and discover links between people that may not show up on their Facebook page. The addition of Social Media Monitor adds just another layer of big data for investigators to mine. I'm going to stop reading this there. Yeah, so now LexisNexis is selling a service to law enforcement to monitor Facebook and Twitter. So, if you're going to brag about crimes, you probably want to stick to 4chan. Just saying.
I'm going with if you're successful at being a criminal, it's because you're not posting your exploits on the internet.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't think taking selfies at the crime scene and then posting them under your real name on Facebook is a great idea. I'm just going to say that.
Like, did you get the good side of my baby mask?
I'm kind of conflicted. One hand, I don't like the idea, but on the other hand, it's public domain. I don't like saying it, but Facebook's pretty fucking public. You can go to other people's accounts. As long as this LexisNexis account, that's a tongue twister, doesn't actually, I don't know, break your privacy. You know,
you don't know what LexisNexis is if you think that.
I don't know.
Yeah, I was just like, great.
I have never heard of them before, actually.
Oh, geez, go Google them and have some fun.
Yeah.
What I'm getting at, though, is if it's public anyway, how is it different from looking at housing records or anything like that?
It's really not.
They've just got it down to an art, dude.
Yeah, and it's just funny that many people are posting about, you know, I'll be home late tonight, just got done robbing the gas station. I mean,
yeah. If you're going to be dumb enough to post that shit, yeah.
So
they've just refined their human searching down to a fine art, dude. Like, they make the casual talking I do look amazing. Like, I'd love to get in and use their shit. I'd love to get in and use their shit, dude. That'd be great.
So how long do you think before they start marketing this to businesses?
Last Tuesday.
Yeah.
Are you sure they didn't do this before they went to law enforcement?
They did offer it to police. So.
LexisNexis or whatever they call themselves, fucking... they're the ones that are introduced and have pioneered the facial recognition software for shopping and things like that. And they're the ones that came up with the idea of the loyalty cards and shit like that, and then they track all the users' spendings. So if you've got one of those loyalty cards where you pay for your groceries, they go click, and that all goes into a data system, and as the more intrusive stuff rolls out, they're just going to start targeting you everywhere. So, okay, you're buying all this stuff, you go home, hey, look, your Facebook's got targeted advertising on it all of a sudden because that corporation's using it for its advertising within Facebook, Twitter, and all that shit.
Shit, so those fuckers are everywhere then.
Yeah, the facial recognition stuff is absolutely amazing.
I'm going to have some wonderfully horrible ad combinations in my email.
We've got a store here that's trialing the as you walk past with your card, it'll display, like, it goes, oh, that's Jenny so-and-so. She likes fucking, I don't know, noodles. Here's a latest noodle thing, and it advertises up there with your face. Have you tried this?
I actually cut a story from Decking just because I thought it was getting too long. And the fact that we're, what are we at, an hour and 4 minutes proves I was right. they're now selling systems that not only track you in the store, but will then push ads to your phone saying, yeah, you know, hey, you know, it's like real world pop-up ads. Like, oh, we saw you looking at this. You should buy this. Or, you know, you just picked up peanut butter. You should go buy jelly. I mean,
I want to break into that store's network just so I can have some chick's picture show up with a tube of KY jelly saying, try this.
Nope. I mean, people are just going to start. Actually, it might have already happened, but someone's going to come out with the cell phone case that's a Faraday cage, so that shit won't happen.
I have one. Actually, I got it off Deal Extreme a couple of years
ago. Okay, that's what I thought.
My current phone doesn't actually fit in the damned thing, but I do have one. And
how do you receive phone calls while it's in the cage?
Hint, you don't.
Yeah, it's...
If you do, you need a new cage.
Yeah, which movie it was, but you know, that this guy walked into the store. Oh, that's right. I think it was the original, it Quake movie? Mars... I need to get to Mars.
Oh, yeah. Total Recall.
Yeah, you know what? He walks into the shop and goes, "Hi, blah, blah, blah," and then announces his name and everything. Welcome back to the store.
2 weeks. Yeah.
So that's where it's heading. Don't buy anything odd and have it show up.
No, that's when you get to play the game of use a loyalty card for I'm buying lubricant, condoms, and duct tape.
Don't make people embarrassed to walk in the store. Yeah.
Yeah. Like make the attendants embarrassed to look in your eyes. So just for 30 days straight, every Friday night, go buy like a shovel, rope, and lie. And or you know, the first week is you buy binoculars, a map, some adult diapers, stuff like that. Second week, it's sleeping pills, things like that. Then all the way through to the end of it, the crime, like a shovel, lie, things like that, just to see the look on their face.
No, one of the shopping trips has to be, what is it, melting chocolates, rat poison, and candy molds.
Sounds like you guys are playing the Walmart game.
Wow.
That's in fabrics and crafts and chemicals, if you're wanting to know.
More people need to play the Walmart game.
What aisle is that, Madman?
It varies from store, depending on when your store was set up.
Wow. But yeah, that's how I'm going to have fun with the loyalty card thing when it really kicks in.
D&D book, D20s, trash bags. All right. Next one up is from Gizmodo. If you think your peer-to-peer file sharing can be kept under wraps, think again. A federal judge in Vermont has ruled that you have no expectation whatsoever that your P2P data is ever private. In a case focused on the detection of child pornography, defendants argued that police gained data from a P2P network illegally without a search warrant. District Court Judge Christina Reis disagreed. The evidence overwhelmingly demonstrates that the only information accessed was made publicly available by the IP address or the software it was using. Accordingly, either intentionally or inadvertently, the use of peer-to-peer file sharing software, or through the use of peer-to-peer file sharing software, defendants exposed to the public the information they now claim was private. The police had, in fact, been using a variety of software to automate their snooping, which automatically matched files with an IP address, hash value, date, and time. But as the judge noted, the searches could have been performed manually by either law enforcement or the public, though it would have taken quite a long time. Regardless, the upshot, your P2P data is never private.
Think of the children.
I have no problem with them using it for law enforcement, using it for child pornography.
Yeah, but I mean...
That's not what they're going to use it for.
I know, but...
That's how they're going to slip it in, though, because if you disagree with them, you're a pedophile.
Oh, fuck it. I'm doing 20 years.
Alright,
If they retro-charge people for shit, I'm fucked. You're all fucked, too.
I don't know what you're talking about. You downloading all these MP3s. Oh, fuck.
I've never, ever pirated anything over the interwebs.
Yeah, you got everybody else to do it for you.
I've never hit play on a YouTube video. That's illegal, guys. Don't do it. It copies stuff to your hard drive.
Oh, God.
You're violating, I don't know, the DMCA.
Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, you weren't abiding by the terms and conditions of the site. What term was I violating? You were thinking about something dirty while looking at the video, weren't you, sir?
But it was My Little Pony. How could you not be dirty while watching fuck. That?
Hasn't that happened before, though, Morps?
I'm sure it has. I'm drunk. I don't know. Fuck.
You're drunk. I'm going to take a side note. They found a graboid in Thailand.
A what?
A graboid.
What's a graboid?
Really? Smack this man. Madman, drive over to his house now. Smack him in the back of the head.
Tremors. Don't give him ideas.
Tremors.
Holy
the giant worms that eat people?
What the fuck is that?
Damn.
That's
awesome.
I don't know if it's real.
We need Gomez Adams to shoot at him with shotguns now.
Yes. I don't know if it's real.
Grips dynamite.
It's fake and they're making another movie.
All right, last one up is from Boing Boing. You cannot buy a battery for the Renault Zoe. And so it's an electric car called the Renault Zoe. Instead, you have to rent it. And if you stop making payments, the battery's DRM will prevent you from recharging it. It's part of a larger product strategy through which the Zoe collects huge amounts of your data on your driving and ships it back to the manufacturer. Just what the world needed, a car you're not allowed to own and which you can't use anymore if you lose your job and can't make the monthly battery rental fee. They figured out how do you make a car software as a service. And if Renault's battery provider ever goes out of business, your Renault is bricked. They put DRM in the freaking battery of this electric car.
Nice.
There's got to be a way of hacking that.
Yeah, it's called stripping out the control circuit and wiring in a hard line. But, I mean...
People
damn.
Wonder why you would download a car.
You download a car and run internal combustion engine because they're going to outlaw them soon and put DRM all over the freaking car. Like, oh, yeah, we see you haven't made your monthly payment. They're going to run cars like... Yep. You're going to get a certain number of miles. It's going to be like a cell phone. You get a certain number of miles a month on your car, and you've got an overage. Yeah, you've got an overage, and that's an extra $200 per mile on your overage there.
They
you
already
agreed to
do
it.
That in London. I think it's China. It odds and evens on each day of what your license plate is. Whether you can use your car.
Shot over this stuff. This is getting stupid.
Won't they? Haven't
Wait.
They been trying to pass it where they?
Wait till they start
taxes mileage instead of the
yeah,
gas.
They have. They want to do that.
Yeah. Wait till they start weighing and scanning your garbage, like they do in certain parts of London now.
Lovely.
It's an environmental tax. So if you go over X amount of kilos per month, you're not recycling enough.
So everyone did stock up for the revolution, right?
Yep. So you're saying people hoard their trash in their garage just to avoid the fines?
No, they throw them in their neighbor's bins.
Exactly. Exactly. Ninjas stealth on bin night, man. Like, people are literally standing by their garbage bins waiting for the truck to come so people don't dump shit in it.
That's sad, you know.
So you can tell who are the least liked people in the neighborhood since they have the fullest bins.
They have to go out and stand next to their bin with a firearm just to make sure somebody else isn't going to throw their shit in.
It's Britain. They have sharpened sticks.
Oh, right. Yeah, you're right. I forgot.
They can have bottles of gas with lighters.
They're talking about... Because of the problem of people putting other stuff in each other's bins, that are having lockable bins that you have like a magnetic lock key. Only you can open your bin, and as the truck pulls up, it has a master key to open all bins.
So master keys are just going to become really cool to buy.
Yes, they will be.
So they're going to adapt the frequent... your customer cards to your bin.
So this is the point where it's like, well, you gotta weigh the dead hooker and make sure you're not going over the weight limit here on your garbage.
Vacuum cleaner.
This is what the bot tub's for.
Oh, don't worry.
Always cut them up into little
pieces. Just make sure it's a plastic one.
All right, let's close it up here with this. So I'd planned on doing for Digital Dojo tonight, I just ran out of time, so it'll be for next week. I've been looking at mining Bitcoin style currencies, and I got the hardware done, but I didn't get all the way through the software. So instead, what I've got tonight is from chrisdintz.blogspot.in. It is a Python script that will scan a website for about 1,500 common admin pads. And so pretty much it's pretty simple. You run the script, you throw a URL at it, and it will just try a bunch of these different common admin paths and let you know if it finds something. And so, you know, of course, /admin/CGI/bin/admin, and then just on down the line, which this thing's actually really handy. If you're looking at like print servers or servers where somebody says the admin panel's turned off, you can actually check them on that crap.
I was just thinking that, man. I'm actually going to use that at work to check out some servers. And
oh, yeah.
Like I said, we just inherited a bunch of stuff, so always need to figure out what the hell is exactly on it.
So, yeah, and these things are great just for finding really common admin pads. And since most of the time the admin pads don't change that much, this tool is actually pretty good for finding them. I use it at work a lot. And, well, a variation on this tool. I've actually been using one of the OWASP tools for this, but I've been using this. I used this one today and yesterday, and it worked. You know, I mean, I found a couple of pages. It's always great when you find the admin page on some device when the vendor set told you it's all, oh, no, that's all turned off. Really? What about this one? And the vendor didn't know it was there. Oh, fuck. You'd be amazed at the number of vendors who buy something, slap it together, and, you know, ship it out.
Yep.
So, but, yeah, I was hoping I was going to get to... I'm actually planning on doing, what was it, Litecoins and Peercoins. I've actually got a couple of the USB ASIC miners ordered. I expect to have them next week. So, because mining Bitcoin directly is not really usable in this day and age. It's you've really got to have a farm to do it and get it in a pool and kind of hope. So I was thinking if you mine some of the alternative currencies that you can convert into Bitcoin, you can do this without really investing much in the way of cash except for buying the gear. So nothing else, something to play with. So that, in fact, what Bitcoin hit, what, $450, something like that?
It got high. It was high in the fours.
Yeah, I mean, it was up there.
I get a screen pick of it, 400. Let's just say the majors had a very hard week.
417 is what it's up to right now. So, at least on Preev.com. They're saying in the IRC it's up to 438. So, I guess that depends on where you're trading.
Psychro's Mt. Gox has actually been about 10 bucks higher than everyone else the last week. Just letting you know that Mt. Gox isn't exactly market correct.
Yeah, actually, for great fun, pull down this Python script for finding admin pages and run it against Mt. Gox and see what it finds. So that's all I've really got for tonight. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday. Shoot the Noise on Wednesday. Missing Dialogues on Tuesdays. IHN on Saturdays, the Galaxy 15 radio site, the Twitter handle, the feedback forum, the OS Grid Sims, the subreddit, and I, you know, worst case scenario, I will accept TCP/IP via carrier pigeon.
Come on, Madman, get your ass into gear.
Yeah, that's got to happen. Someone's got to do it.
Bird's gonna show up in my yard, just like what the
fuck? With a USB dongle on its foot.
Hey man, just tie a brick around a dead pigeon and a USB and throw it through his front window.
Yes.
Wow. Now, see, they're talking about trapping pigeons now. All right, I'm going to hit play on this music. If anybody has anything that they want to throw out, now's the time.
campfire.